That was Jim Ringer from the CD Endangered Species on the Swing Boogie Show. And next we are on to an entirely different kind of music, almost halfway across the globe. But what does it matter, because music is all the same when it goes into your heart. And this is the Kacheri Show. My name is Suresh Joyce, and I'm going to bring you some music from India today. That was a sample of the kind of music I'm going to feature on this show today. This is KKUP Cupertino, and the number to call here is 408-260-2999 to express your feedback, your like or dislike of the music, or to call and inquire about becoming a subscriber to the station. This show is ordinarily presented by Krish Krishnamurthy, and he presents Karnataka classical music. And I didn't want to try to reach to his standards as far as Carnatic music is concerned, the quality and the variety. So I'm going to present some music of the North Indian classical style, and there will be some Carnatic classical. But also today, I'm going to have a special guest here on the show. He is Dr. Prasad Kaipa, who is an extremely well-known entrepreneur and public speaker and an expert in the area of learning and organizational development and personal development. And he's going to speak about how music offers tools and techniques. It's not only a source of entertainment or just spending time, but he'll also illustrate how it is a great learning tool, and it offers very specific tools for making it a part of your personal, organizational, and career development. And he'll be here any time now. And in the meantime, let's continue to hear some music. The track that you just heard is from the CD by Bismillah Khan and Girija Devi in a Jugal Bandi. And I'll continue to play that track. And when Dr. Prasad joins us, we'll begin this conversation and this wonderful journey into the world of music and learning.
Ah. Yeah.
This is KKUP Cupertino. This is the program Kacheri, and my name is Suresh Joyce. And as I mentioned before, today I have a special guest with me, Dr. Prasad Kaipa. And we're going to walk the world of music in on a very unique topic. That is, we are going to explore the effect of music on the states of mind and how music provides excellent tools for education and learning and creativity. And it goes beyond mere entertainment value. Dr. Prasad will walk us through this wonderful world of different types of music from around the world and what kind of effects it has and how it forms the very core of human psychology and human culture. Dr. Prasad, would you welcome to the station, and would you also introduce yourself and tell us where you come from, what your background is?
Sure, Suresh. First, thank you for inviting for this in this show. I come from India, and I've been in the United States for about 22 years. Most of my research has been in the area of how people learn, how children learn, how adults learn, and also how we can bring about a major shift in the way in which people learn. So I've been researching the brain research. I've been looking at education. I've been looking at what you call a non-linear or a discontinuous learning that allows for a highly effective development to take place.
Quantum leaps in cognition and development and learning.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
It's very interesting that you have a background in theoretical physics. And maybe you can explain a little bit of your journey from the most material of the hard sciences to this world of spirituality, which combines not only Indian spirituality but also major schools of spirituality and religion from worldwide, and how you came to unify all this into a very effective system.
Well, if I were to say I'm just a physicist, I would be lying. Yes, I do have a doctorate in physics, and I have worked as a teacher of physics for several years at University of Utah. At the same time, I also grew up in a tradition of spirituality and Vedanta, as they call it in India. So I grew up in a family where my parents encouraged me to learn Sanskrit, my parents encouraged me to learn some of the spiritual literature, but not from literature like a reading perspective. Most of it was in verse. Mm-hmm. Most of it was in chants. I was truly connected, and I felt somehow there was a vibration in my body when I listened to some music and some chants and some Indian classical music called Carnatic music. It's a South Indian music. So I grew up with these being extremely important parts before even I decided to study physics and went into physics. So in that respect, I grew up with both, I should say, the spirituality, the Indian brand of spirituality, which you might call Vedanta, and along with that, I studied physics. Mm-hmm. I should say that. Yeah. So now that I said that, how I moved from physics to now what I'm doing, the area of to help people to learn, and you know, the practical terms, I'm called an executive coach, and I'm a kind of a management consultant in the field of organizational learning and organizational development. I coach executives and CEOs to become more effective, more creative, more energetic, and more fulfilled. So that's what I do. How I moved into it is that while I was doing my physics work, there was a gentleman called Edwin Haskell, Dr. Ed Haskell, who encouraged me to look at computers and also create visual metaphors and visual approaches through which I can learn and through which whatever we are doing can be communicated. So what you call information visualization is one area where I moved into, and slowly as I moved into visualization, then from there I moved into Apple computer, because there was a way to connect the visual, auditory and kinesthetic informations. And I got fascinated by it. Actually, one of the first pieces I did was to bring about Carnatic music, some of the pieces. I could try to play it on the Macintosh.
I see.
With some of the keyboard-based stuff. So that's how I moved into it, and slowly from there I was asked to research how people learn. So I went and interviewed several Nobel laureates and several extraordinarily accomplished people, sportsmen, musicians like Suzuki, all kinds of people, Dalai Lama, and other kinds of spiritual teachers also. So when I studied that kind of how people learn at an extraordinary level, I recognized the impact of music, impact of emotional learning, and over a period of time, let us say past 13 years, I began to take up learning as my primary field. So I help people to become more effective learners, become better innovators, and more effective executives.
Sure.
That's how I moved into it.
And of course, you personally personify those attributes in that you are a very multidimensional, almost a Renaissance person. I've been really impressed by the Vedanta sessions that you hold and the spirituality discussions that you hold. And you're engaged even now in an incredible variety of activities. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the couple, three organizations that you're associated with. And if people are interested in the type of stuff you're doing and want to learn more from you, how they would contact you.
Oh, you're very generous, Suresh. It's nice to think about as a Renaissance person, but at the same time, I know how many limitations I have. I'm just tapping into what you might call a boundaryless way of learning. I'm recognizing many of the disciplines we operate from, they don't need to be the filters with which we gain our perspective into the world. Mm-hmm. Each of them can give us a different way of looking at the world. We don't need to buy into it. So just because I have a doctorate in physics and I taught physics for a long time, I don't need to think about myself as a physicist or a musician or a Vedantic scholar or a teacher or a father. I think each of those are appropriate in the context we use. So if I think about it in that way, what I'm doing, I'm CEO of a small company called Self Corp. The name Self Corp came about because I'm addressing the self-development of CEO and executives while they are developing the corporation. So I look at self and corporation being the front of the hand, back of the hand. Without developing the individuals and people, corporation doesn't grow. And without growing the corporation, people don't necessarily have the financial resources, organizational resources to do what they want. So in that respect, I look at it as a synergistic growth of organizational aspirations to be fulfilled and people's aspirations to be fulfilled. So that's what we do through Self-Corp.
Sure, it sounds incredibly topical given what went on last year with WorldCom and Enron and companies like that. They grew to incredible heights in a material sense. You know, they were at the top of the world, top of the heap with their valuations and so on. But ultimately, they were brought down by a few people that were, let us say, less than ideal to be leaders of thousands of employees and leaders of the country even. So I fully agree with what you say. And I think the thing is that this is such a grassroots effort. And I think what you're doing is to tap into the individuals, the future CEOs and the current CEOs, and working at such a grassroots level to spread the word, not only teach the individual, but also teach the teacher kind of thing. So
yeah, you might say learning to learn, learning to innovate are what you might call capacities which one has in them. We need to learn how to tap into them. That's where music plays a significant role. We focus so much on the skills and the knowledge, which change very rapidly based on the context. Like some time ago, let us say, in the technical field, learning how to program in Java or learn to work in some kind of a technical environment was considered to be quite important, and that got you a lot of money. But now, maybe the .NET is the kind of approach which you have to take rather than the Java-based approach. So the kind of skills you develop and the type of knowledge that you develop changes based on the market conditions and technology development. Whereas the competencies which are connected with the heart to a certain extent and the capacity of what we can, what we cannot do is where learning to learn, interpersonal skills, people skills, the ability to listen, ability to appreciate, perceive, change perspective. Mm-hmm. This is what, these are all the kind of foundations for creating breakthrough learning, right, and major leaps, mm-hmm, in discovering whatever needs to be discovered, both inside and with each other.
Right. So, in a sense, what you seem to be saying is that there are two types of knowledge, one which is ephemeral and almost chaotic. It right. changes by the day. And people focus on that type of knowledge, but you know, tend to pay less attention to the eternal and the more, you know, almost the deeper aspects of knowledge, such as music and rhythm, and even diet and hygiene and those types of rhythmic things that you know, you do to your body and mind. I guess form into the same category of deep knowledge.
And I would say so. If I were to frame it slightly differently, I would say the two kinds of knowledge which we can address. One is about the world, mm-hmm, how the machines work, how things work, how somebody else works. It is about knowledge that may not have direct context to who I am, why do I do the way in which I do, what are my attitudes, what are my values, what is my belief system, what makes me effective. Mm-hmm. Irrespective of the context and the conditions in which I am placed in.
Right.
So, the second knowledge, which is about self-awareness, self-knowledge, if you want to call, is very different from the knowledge of the world and knowledge of the tools. Both are needed. They are like the double helix, you know,
right,
the two strands
right.
of the double helix. One doesn't become meaningful and fulfilled without the other, as long as we operate within this world, right?
Sure.
So the kind of music and its impact, or the rhythm and its impact, is extremely important, because the recent work on various neurological studies that have been done, they found to have shown that the music has impact on the physical development, emotional development, mm-hmm, the brain development, in the enjoyment that we have. In some respects, you might call learning mathematics, in terms of learning how to play chess, how to become effective in certain subjects like science. They're all impacted by the unconscious way in which we resonate with the rhythm and the music that we listen to.
Sure.
So music creates a certain states in which we operate. For example, if we were to put the music, for the Ravi Shankar, like I brought a sitar music, which is from a CD called Concert for Peace, mm-hmm, where Ravi Shankar played in Royal Albert Hall. If you were to put a piece of that music, and if you were to begin to listen, and as we talk, first we will listen for a few minutes, mm-hmm, and then we will talk over the music to a certain extent.
Sure.
This is about peace, especially in the kind of environment where we are, where the war looks almost inevitable. Begin to pay attention to how listening to this music could kind of have an impact. Especially, I want you to pay attention to three things. If there is a way in which, if you can notice your pulse or the blood pressure. Number two, I want you to see whether the thought patterns in your brain, do they increase in pace as you listen to this music, or as it slows down in pace. And the third one, notice your own muscle tension. Just notice, do you feel the muscles relaxing or tensing up? All right, these are the three things I want you to pay attention to as you listen to this
sure.
music for a few minutes.
So just for the benefit of our listeners, we're kind of conducting a live experiment on the effect of music on a mind and body, and listeners are free to participate. If they are sitting down someplace, and for the benefit of them, maybe you can briefly repeat the states of mind that you want us to observe.
Yeah. As you listen to this music, I want you to begin to pay attention to your mind and the impact of the music on your body also. So I want you to pay attention to, if you have a way of doing it, your pulse, blood pressure, and thought patterns, and muscle tension. Just notice that.
Okay. So here is the Concert for Peace by Ravi Shankar.
Friends, we begin this evening's recital with an evening raga known as Jet. Rag Jet. First you will hear the traditional alap, jod and jhala, followed by a kath. That's where the tabla will join in the rhythmic cycle known as chapta, which has 10 beats in the cycle, divided 2-3, 2-3. Raag Chet. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was some truly relaxing music from Ravi Shankar from the CD Concert for Peace. And, you know, you're absolutely right in that coming in for a program is always a there is an equivalent of a stage fear even for a radio programmer. And listening to this piece, even when we were conversing about the significance of it, I could observe the calming effect going down from my ears all the way down. So, the next thing you were going to talk about is the effect of different kinds of music and how they have their own characteristics.
That's correct. The music seems to have all kinds of impact on our human physiology. Any time when you talk about doing a heavy mental work, three things happen. Our pulse rate seem to increase, blood pressure seem to raise, brain waves itself will speed up and get to a higher state, and there is a muscle tension that can happen. So any time when you are trying to learn something, any time when you are trying to do something which has got the cognitive functioning involved, these things seem to happen. So one researcher called Georgi Lazanov from Bulgaria, who has done a lot of work on accelerated learning, he found out that if we can figure out a way to relax the physiology in a secondary channel, if you want to call, while you are learning whatever you are learning in the primary channel, if we can put the music in the background, that's why we are playing, continuing the concert for peace in the background right now. So as we are talking, if we have that kind of a relaxing music in the background, what happens is, he found out that all of these, for example, pulse rate reduces, blood pressure decreases, brain waves begin to slow down, and muscles relax. And he found out that if we can figure out and identify the type of music that even synchronizes, if it is a repeated music with a certain quality, which has got a certain beats, for example, Baroque, Bach, Beethoven, certain kinds of Mozart, if you were to take them, they have, you know, like a Bach music, for example, certain symphonies have got like a 60 beats per minute. And that seemed to synchronize with about 70, 72 beats per minute heart rate. So to a certain extent of the pulse. And what we found out is that over a period of time, somehow we seem to slow our processes down and get to a relaxed mental state in which our concentration seem to increase. We seem to get to a positive learning state. And we create an environment that is more desirable, especially because the emotions and the emotional brain seem to have a significant impact on our memory and retention of information and recall of information. By creating a sense of anticipation, energized, positive learning environment, seem to increase our attention, bring focus and concentration, improve the kind of memory, create a multi-sensory learning experience. That means whatever we are reading, whatever we are listening, whatever we are doing, all gets integrated and stored as a single experience. So when we try to recall it, because our memory is more holographic, along with the content, we also recall the relaxed state of the mind, so it becomes a lot easier.
Right.
So it has got a lot of physiological and very powerful impact on learning, education, and creativity.
It's almost as though, contrary to common sense, you know, having a second channel of relaxing music when you're doing other intense types of learning activity helps to actually reduce the noise and the inhibitions that you might have to acquiring the new knowledge. So
it is, and I think the key seems to be the rhythm here. For example, the kind of rhythm in classical music, whether it is the Western classical music, as I mentioned, we will play Bach in a couple of minutes, so that you can experience the what you call an optimal learning state that you can get to when you listen to certain kinds of Bach. We will do that. But before that, I also want to say, the music can have negative impact as much as it can have positive impact if you play some kinds of music which literally gets you to move. So that means if you take heavy metal, if you take rock, if it has a lot of bias, if it requires you to engage physically with it, mm-hmm. that would be very good for break time, for example. Yeah. Let us say children are enjoying and you are actually in your classroom or in your workplace, you have a relaxing classical music. And then when you take a break or when you are engaging with some physical activities, you can put in some music which has got a much faster rhythm, much faster beat, and that will change the physiology to move and get engaged with whatever physical activity that you are engaged with. Mm-hmm. And still, if we go to the other extreme, certain kinds of music, when it has got incredibly large number of instruments connected, and if they draw you into it, then it can also have a deleterious impact on your brain and mind. Then it can, they have found in brain research that it is possible to reduce immunity. It is possible to increase the heart rate and the blood pressure. And in the secondary channel, you can get people to a very, very excited state.
Violent almost.
And almost violent. Mm-hmm. That's also possible. So we just need to know that anything that has got a positive impact has a negative impact. So what it means is you need to pick the kind of music that you want to listen to based on whether you want to increase your mental processing or you want to shut down your mental processing and engage with the music totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. And further down the line, we have even an example of this type of negative music just for illustration purposes. But in the meantime, our readers can rest assured that most of the program will actually speak about the more relaxing and learning-oriented and illustrate
That's correct.
More that type of... So, I think next you want to play some Bach and illustrate... You know, how that type of texture and how it works on the mind. And so we'll start playing that music, and in the meantime, you can start discussing, you know, the effects of specific to that type of music.
Sure.